This is Pivot Perspectives with Chris O'Byrne, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and relevant people on the planet. Hear their stories and get the most important business lessons they've learned on their road to success, and get exclusive access on how to implement their success into your life and business. Pivot Perspectives is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board and your host, Chris O'Byrne.
All right, Khadija, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I am glad to have you. We are going to go back a little ways to your childhood. So what was your childhood like? What were the things that affected who you became today?
The most important person I was blessed with was, my mother was a blessing as well. But when she handed me to my grandmother, which I call Ummi, was the greatest gift. So those first impressions from the age of 2 months old to 7 years old was very impressionable to me. And she gave me lots of love, and we didn't have much. We had humble beginnings, but what we had was we were wealthy in love. We were wealthy in affection, kindness, good food, whatever we ate, it didn't matter. We were happy.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Morocco in a small town called Kenitra.
And now you've lived quite a few places in the world. How would you compare growing up in Morocco to what the typical person experiences here in the U.S.?
Pretty different, drastically different. This is in Northwest Africa, so there's a lot of culture. It's a Muslim country. There's all different denominations, but primarily it's a Muslim country, and there's customs and things like that. So it's drastically different than America. America, you have a lot of freedom and accessible to many things. You have access to a lot of different kinds of things. It's easier, definitely an easier life, at least in a different way. There's pros and cons in both countries.
So in addition to love, what else did you learn from your grandmother?
What I learned is... patience. I learned about having faith in God, and always do the right thing. So she was always that little voice in my head, back there. Like when I wanted to do a bad thing, like growing up, I could hear her back there. No, 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 that's not good. So I was like, So, yeah, she's
a very strong moral force in your life.
Yes. She was all about, she was ethical. She was about truth, justice, and she had such strong faith in God. And at that time in my life, being a young child influenced, I wasn't about the denomination of religion or what faith it was. She was just so spiritual and so about being kind to people, to humans, and do good, do the right thing, and God will bless you. And she would always say to me, "You're blessed." She prayed for me a lot, and I never forgot that. Those little moments of prayers with her and weaving her blanket, homemade blanket, and watching her. It was pretty special moments, and I just feel like she also experienced a lot of tribulations in her life. So I'm grateful that I was there to love on her as well as she was loving on me.
Now, you said, did you live with her until you were seven?
Yes.
And so then what was the rest of your childhood like?
My mother, she was busy working most of the time, so I'd see her periodically. And after that, my mother met a Marine, and they got married. He got permission from her family, which is her biological father and biological mother. He had to do a dowry, and they got married and moved to the United States. And she got pregnant, came back to the United States, and picked me up and my brother, because I have a brother that was 11 months younger than me, who has passed away. But yeah, and so we moved to United. That's when it began. We moved to United States, and it was a whole new life. It was definitely
I
a
bet.
shocker, Beaufort, South Carolina.
So, what was the rest of your experience like? Just kind of walk me through that change and what it was like overall.
Overall, I mean, I think I had expectations. I was excited, and because I'm going to be with my mother, I was excited to be with my mom, and I have a new stepdad, so it was exciting at first, of course, and I helped my mom with her new baby, which is my brother, Joe, and I was trying to adjust because I barely spoke English, so I had a hard time in school. I had to take special development classes. And of course, our home, as time went on, became very chaotic. A lot of abuse and trauma I experienced in the United States as we traveled everywhere because my stepdad transferred into the Navy. So we ended up moving all over the United States. We moved to California, San Diego, San Francisco, Illinois, Maryland, then Virginia. So we never got to stay anywhere in one place and create that stability, of friends or a home that you're going to stay in. So it's always moving around.
Yeah, got it. So you then, and I've noticed that people go kind of two different ways with their life after growing up that way. Either they continue to want to always have some sort of variety and move around a lot, or they really crave stability and kind of pick that for themselves and choose to stay in one place the rest of their life. Which one of those worked for you?
I'm gonna have to say I did both, believe it or not. I wanted
Okay.
stability. I wanted stability, but as I experienced my three marriages and everything and all that, once all that, I experienced those three divorces, and then I wanted to move around. I have lived in so many places after my divorce, and I went to India and I moved place to place. Every year I was moving, but not because I had to, not because I wanted to. It was because the circumstances I was in, and I had no problem with it. Most people would say, "Oh my gosh, you're moving again." I said, "What's the big deal?"
Yeah, you get used to it.
Yeah. I said, "I love change. I am adaptable." Because I moved around so much, I feel like I can adapt and adjust to any kind of environment, any kind of situation or people. I feel the room. I can be in a room with intellectuals or just downright hippies.
Yeah. So take me then on a journey through these years up until where you're now, but do it from the perspective of religion and spirituality.
Religion and spirituality.
So
After
first, let's start
experience,
with this. When you were in high school,
yes.
did your parents take you to a specific church? Did you follow a certain religion at that point, or do was it a mix of, Islam and Christianity? What was that like?
At that time, growing up as a child, I felt like it was a mix between Islam and Christianity together, because sometimes my mom would take us to churches, and also she sought the aid of help from the church community, because we had a lot of chaos going on in the house, so she tried to seek out to get help with finances or counseling, things like that. But the it wasn't a consistent all the time. What helped me most is when my grandmother would come to visit. Every time those were visits, 6 months visits, were so important to me in my spiritual path and the love that it filled my cup back up, okay, with that nurturing love. And God bless my mother. She had her own journey, but the religion at home, it wasn't, it was very contemporary with my mom. With my grandmother, it was very, there was a lot of practice, there was a lot of discipline, there was praying 5 times a day, doing the beads. She would pray before she would eat. So it was about the relationship between you and God, is what she taught me. It wasn't about always which denomination or which religion you're going to be. The most important thing is that you have a relationship with the divine, with God, whatever you may call it.
And that's the part that stayed with you throughout your journey. So then, what was the next evolution in your spiritual journey after that?
After that, well, as I grew up, and I got married, when I married my first husband, I got baptized at a Greek Orthodox church. So I had the big baptism in a big cavernous church with a nice little audience. It was interesting reciting the Nicene Creed. So I practiced that religiously. I walked that path. After that divorce, I met my second husband, who is Catholic, not really practicing much, but my kids were also going to Catholic school. So I started to go to the Catholic church that my kids' school had, that represented, that were together. So I went from doing the cross from right to left to doing the cross left to right.
Yes, there are a lot of similarities between the Catholic Church and Greek Orthodox. What were the parts of those two that you kept with you all this time?
I love I love the spirit of the religion, the how do I say it, the love that you feel when you go into a room that people are all praying to God and looking for peace and harmony. We all have the same idea, to want to be closer to God, or just to pray for our lives and to pray for a better world. And it's a beautiful thing. And I take the love within every religion is what I love. There's love, there is good intention. And of course we can twist all of that too, but I always take the good. I look at the good. What's good in this, is that we're praying, it feels good. There's a feeling. You have to listen to those feelings.
So then, what was the next phase after that?
Well, the next phase after that was, it was the Sufi path when I met my third husband, who was from Turkey. But I walked. It was very interesting how I got into that, because every time I transformed, I was going through something, and but deep down inside, I had kind of, got off the wagon with the Islam and my grandmother's way of praying and stuff, because life, and I'm going through my own journey and my own life experiences. So when I walked the Turkish path, it felt familiar. It felt okay. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. It feels like I'm supposed to be here. So, I experienced a lot of love from everybody. It was more like very humble. I mean, I would eat together with the women on the floor, and everybody bring dishes, and we pray together before we eat, after we eat. It was 7 years. I quit drinking. I quit a lot of things, and did a lot of detox, purification, soul purification, spiritually, physically, and it was so educational. I felt like that was also part of my pilgrimage. 7 years walking that path. I wore hijab. I ch did a 90-degree turn. My kids were shocked. My own family was shocked because here I am. I've been raised and living in America all this time, so I was pretty Americanized, you know. And I'm not covered up, you know. I'm wearing short dresses, whatever, you know. Now I'm completely covered, you know, wearing long skirts, shirts cover all the way up to at least your elbow, wearing a hijab or wearing a hat when I'm in public. Sometimes I didn't want to get too much attention, you know, or if I'm at work, I'd wear a hat or a wig. Okay. So it was a big deal that time. I think my kids learned a lot from that. Watching me and my house, my home, my lifestyle also changed inside the home because now they're watching me pray 5 times a day and doing prayer beads. It was a beautiful experience. I loved my imam. I loved the whole experience. Everything has its good and bad. I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for all of that.
And then again, what did you keep with you from the Sufi path through the years?
I learned so much. I learned discipline. I learned the connection with the divine, with God, with Allah. I had so many wonderful spiritual experiences that it's so personal to me. You know, it's pretty special. It almost makes me want to cry because I'm
Yeah,
grateful for that.
that's beautiful. So then, what came next for you spiritually?
I had to. It was a big. I'm sorry.
No, don't you
It's
worry
just.
about it.
It's been a growing experience. I decided after the divorce that people would show up in my life. God would just bring these amazing people that just show up to like little angels to guide me in different directions. I wasn't lost. I just needed to go within myself and love that little girl and heal her. And the only way I was going to do that after meeting some people, like I met a guru and I decided to go on a trip to India. I decided to, you know, leave everything that is familiar to me and go into the unknowing. Go somewhere where no one knows you, you know, and get to know who you are deep inside and experience life of do what you want, you know, because most of my life I felt like I've always had somebody telling me what to do, how to do it, well, I got to take care of other people. You know, I raised my brothers when they were little, helped my mom, you know, did a lot of motherly. I was li like their second mom, you know. And then I had my kids, my husband. So it was always taking care of somebody, you know. So for the first time, I needed to like take care of me, you know. So I went to India for almost, you know, about 6 months, and it had its pros and cons, but most of all, it was an amazing experience for me. It really, really was. It really helped me in so many levels to reflect and do some introspection of all of everything and sit with it and meditate. And I got to experience also different. I was able to learn different tools, under my belt for coping with life tragedies or depression and things like that.
Now, is that the path that you continue to follow at this time?
I love the path of Hinduism. It's a beautiful path as well. My core root is Islam. I was born as an Islamic woman. It is a part of me. It's in my blood. I feel it. I don't want to. I don't like being called any type of denomination, to be honest with you. I'm a spiritual being. I'm a human being that loves Mother Earth, that loves God, that loves the trees, that loves the animals. And I love people. I love people. Even as crazy as some of them can be, I still love them. I love to give people the benefit of doubt, because I know down deep inside, there's that divine spark that God created them, and they're there to teach us something. Every
Yeah.
person that comes into my life teaches me something of who, not who they are so much. You see the beauty in them, but also it teaches you about yourself through them.
Yes. Yes, we're all mirrors. Have you explored Buddhism at all?
Yes, I have experienced Buddhism. I love Buddhism as well. I love the philosophy of Nick Thich Nhat Hanh,
Thich
the
Nhat
famous.
Hanh, one of my heroes.
I love him. Yes, and he's got some great quotes. I love different. I love poetry. I love Rumi and
Yes.
Hafiz. Yes, these are some of the major big boys, that I love, but there are so many others, so many others.
So let's talk about your book. Tell me about your book.
Okay, well, my book, I had many people tell me I should write a book because they felt like my life was a little extra. We all have a journey. You have a journey. I know you do.
You
You have a
never know what
story.
people mean when they say that.
Extra.
Yes.
I mean, I've been through some extra things and some other, and we all have some extra things, but so it came to it. Sometimes in life, you come to of a certain age and you start doing some thinking and introspection, and you go, wow, okay, I've had three kids, three husbands, and they all come from the same father, my first husband, and I experience blah 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 blah, right? I don't want to come from a place of victim consciousness or woe is me. I wanted to look within myself. Why? What was I attracting? Why do I? What was it about me that I keep repeating certain patterns in my life? How can I break that? And how can I learn from that? So I wanted to do some deep cognitive analysis on myself and ask those tough questions that I don't want anyone to ask me. That is deep. But the only way you come to that point is when you experience so much stuff that you hit a vulnerable place and say, I'm fed up. I'm sick and tired of this. I don't, how can I change? How can I heal myself? First of all, I had so much stuff scattered happen in my life. How can I put it all in a book where it's organized? That's not even easy in a book. So that I didn't know where to start. It's too much crap happened, until I met an old friend of mine that I ran into, who was also, he's a writer, intellectual writer, but more so of a scholar sense, not as a personal, as a memoir, but I asked him a few questions, and I said, how can I write a book? How do I write a book? And he said to me, and I was emotional, and he said, I'll help you. So I'll help you for every Sunday. We'll meet and I'll guide you through it. And so he taught me how to put my story down. Just he said, let's just get this. So I had already journaled and have notes everywhere because I had been told many years ago that I'm going to write a book. Someone had told me that. So start journaling. So, and my writing is terrible. I mean, I have terrible penmanship. So I do the best I can to write. And then as the time went on, I start recording my story, which was a lot easier. So to make my story, to wrap this up, just to say that of help of many people that helped me get started in this book process has been quite the journey, Chris. 7 years in the making, okay? Because when you're working, when you're serious about doing the healing work, because every time you finish a chapter or you hit a sentence that triggers you, you're like, oh gosh. And then you start crying. There's all kinds of emotions. And then I go, I had to get therapy. I had to, 4 years ago, I started an actual good therapy. So I'm so grateful. I have a great therapist that guided me through this book and healing my child, healing that little girl, and learn to hold her and put her in my lap and love her, use visualization, just and affirmations and really taking your power back, taking your power back, your agency back, and saying, okay, this girl is one heck of a resilient girl. She's come a long way, so I needed to get it in paper, and share it, It took me a long time, but it's been worth it because to do something to clear, in order for me to heal myself, I needed to heal the child. And with this book, it's helped me heal. And now I'm ready to share it with the world.
So that process of writing a book really does help you structure and your thoughts and put them into
Yes.
something that's easier to
Yes.
understand from a bigger level, gives you insights. What's the title of your book?
What love is?
And the main
It's
title
Khadijah.
is
Yeah, Khadijah's
Khadijah's Journey.
Journey. What love is? Yes.
And so love and explaining what love is and demonstrating what love is, would you say that's the central theme of the book?
Yes, that's the central theme because we are created with love. That's how we got here. That's how God created, because He loves us so much and He gives us so much every day, every moment, every second, every minute. You wake up, you're breathing, you see the sky, and there's just an abundance of blessings all around us, continuously showing up. And I am that kind of person that just, that's what. They call me Lakshmi in India because, I see everything in abundance. So the more you're grateful, the more you're more at peace,
So, what do
So
you hope for the reader to get from reading your book?
I just want them to know if they are going through something, I want to share the experience. And if they can get something out of it, to heal themselves and how my perspective was and how I pushed through and journeyed through my life, they can do it too, They can do it too, And through
Yeah.
perseverance, through triumph, through patience, love, and also conviction, stand up for yourself, use your voice, because I grew up being very timid in a very submissive environment. So, and I carried that on through when I came to America. I mean, that's just my culture. That's part of the culture,
Right.
right?
Yeah.
Most of those countries over there in Africa, Middle East, women are very submissive. And I was always submissive I'm extremely submissive with my mother because that's the way I was raised. And then I was pretty submissive with my husband's, because I wanted, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoy loving them and taking care, cooking, cleaning, and stuff. What happens is sometimes people take advantage of it. That's what
Right.
I experience. It's, when someone appreciates you, it's so huge for me. It's
Yes, it
all about.
goes to your love language, as they say.
Right.
So, what parting advice do you have for people?
Take time to love, go in and love yourself and accept that all is well. Everything in life is an education, is an experience, and learn from it and don't stay there. Keep pushing through, because when you do that and you go for the right, doing the right thing with integrity, justice, God will show you and lead you to the right people and the right where you want to be.
You certainly have had plenty of experiences in your life. Thank you for coming on and doing this interview. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
You are very welcome.
Thanks for listening to Pivot Perspectives with your host, Chris O'Byrne. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advice on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we will see you on the next episode.